Father, we want to get tired calling upon your holy name. We are just grateful that we've reached this time when we want to feed our inner man with your word. Use me to the glory of your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And let's open our Bibles into the Gospel according to Matthew. The Gospel according to Matthew and chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, we are covering the other remaining part from where we stopped last week, from 28 to 46. Yeah, because our brother had read it for us, I'm just reading a few verses and then we continue. I'm reading 28 up to 32. And the Bible says this: "But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward, he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said to him, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him." Yeah, these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are continuing from where we stopped last Sunday. And remember, just to remind you, the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ was being questioned by the Pharisees and the elders of the synagogue. They asked him, "Where did you get your authority from?" And our Lord asked them a question that they could not answer. And therefore he said, "I'm not also giving the answer to you because you have not answered my question." And I want to fetch this from verse 27. Then we continue because it's a continuation. Verse 27 reads, "So they answered Jesus and said, 'We do not know.' And he said to them, 'Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. But what do you think?'" It was just on the same day, and he continues, "What do you think? Tell me." And then he brought these two parables. And the first one is of a father with his two sons. And he says, a man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go and work into my vineyard." And these two sons are the Jews on one side and the publicans and sinners on the other side. God obviously is the landlord, is the master of the vineyard. Now the responses to these two sons is where we need to put our attention. The first one immediately responded positively and said, "Yes, I am going there." But he did not go. I will not. The first one refused. But afterward, he regretted it and went. That's the response of the first son. What has interested me here is the fact that these two sons have the same father. This is so interesting. The Jews on one side, the publicans or tax collectors and sinners on the other side, but the parable tells us that they had one father. And their father was sending them into his vineyard. God in heaven is father to us all. Whether atheist or theist or what, he created us. We are his children. And The first one said, no, I'm not going. That is the response of the tax collectors and sinners. We are not going. But later they regretted. To regret here means to repent, to change their minds, to change their course. They were moving into this direction. The richer said, no, this is not the right way. They changed and they went to the other direction. That is to repent. What I've done is not good. Let me go where my father sent me. And then when the father had that opposition from his first son, he turned to his second son, who answered immediately, I go, sir. Immediately, I go, sir, without any resistance. But he did not go. And Jesus asked them, which one of the two did the will of his father? And they said to him, the first. Remember, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and the elders of the synagogue, while others were following them. Jesus normally taught his disciples in parables. And sometimes, like here, he could also talk to other people, to the Pharisees in parables, so that they could be putting themselves into trap, just as we are seeing here. I go, sir, immediately. This is how the scribes and Pharisees used to behave, pretending to obey God by observing the external rites of religion, but in the real sense, enemies of the kingdom of God. They were the ones planning to kill him. But on the outside, very easy. And I always remind you of this singer in Uganda who sang, easy come, easy go. I just like the way those words are there. They make sense to me. Easy come, easy go. Things that you acquire easily, they're not easy at all. This one finds a girlfriend on Saturday, tomorrow, Sunday, they wait. As easy as that, and on Monday when he goes to work, he comes back home, he finds another man admiring her. That's just the message in that song. Easy come, easy go. The way you got it easily, the way it went easily. And these two groups, we see them even these days. Do you want to do this? Yes, sir. Do you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Yes, sir. When you go out sharing the gospel to people, we find these two types of people. Some disturb us with a lot of questions. But those, if they can, because you know they want to understand things first. But first tell me, even when we were here on Friday under that mango tree, first tell me, why do you do things this way? Why don't you jump? Why don't you dance? Why don't you? Why don't you? I like such people. I cannot come into your church because of ABCD. First explain them to me. But others, it's too easy. Do you like the way we do things? Yes, sir. Will you come and worship with us? Yes, sir. You want Christ to be your Savior? Yes, sir. And when you get such a person, you just rush to your pastor and say, Pastor, five God accepted Christ. Really? So you see, things that are made too cheap, too easy. Too cheap, too easy. Raise up your hands. Repeat after me. Jesus, today, blah, 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 blah. Amen, amen. Finish. Your names are now written in the book of life. And that's how cheap salvation is today. As easy as that. And you know, by answering that, the first one, Jesus asked them the question, which one of the two did the will of the Father? They said the first one. Putting themselves into trap. Because these are the people who are the yes sir people. They are the ones
You say yes, sir, but we don't see you, don't see your fruits. They are the ones who are opposing him. They are the ones who are against him, but pretending to be okay on the outside. And after getting the first answer from them, the Lord continued down there. Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you." Who are the tax collectors? In other versions, call them publicans. They are the same people. These were the Jews. They are the Jews who are serving the Romans. They were collecting tax to the Romans, to the Roman rulers. And that meant their fellow Jews to hate them. They hated them, but they are also sinners because of the type of the job they did. Too much corruption, too much theft in it. Just as you see the people who work in Uganda Revenue Authority. If you get a job there and you are a believer, pray hard that the Lord will be with you to stand against temptations. Too much temptations of corruption. So these guys were calling. So now they were putting them in the same basket with the harlots, the prostitutes and sinners, those publicans. And Jesus says, those will go into the kingdom of God before you, because John came to you in the way of righteousness. What did he mean there? He came to you in the way of righteousness. He came teaching how to be righteous. Teaching righteousness. But you did not believe him. Instead, tax collectors and harlots believed him. These that you despise believed him. And when you saw it, when you saw these sinners believe the word of John, you did not afterward relent. You did not turn. You did not change your mind. You did not repent and believe him. You just hardened your hearts. And he says, let me give you another parable. Verse 33. Hear another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard. It is still the same landowner and his vineyard. And set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. And he leased it to vine dressers and went into a far country. Now, when vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. So it was like this. This was common. Jesus was talking of the things that were happening. People who owned land, landlords, used to plant their vine trees into their lands and then lease it to someone. And when I lease it, like to Emma, we agree that we are going to share the product or the produce that comes from there. When you harvest, you take part and I take part. So this guy, after doing that, he went far away. The vineyard, a place where grapes are cultivated. Judea was a place of vines. It was not strange to people in that place. That's why the figure that Jesus Christ used here is frequently used in Scripture. It is normally used to represent the church, the vineyard. It's also used to represent the Jewish people, the people chosen and favored by God, cultivated with much care, as we read last Sunday in Isaiah chapter 5. To represent the Jewish people. But in this very parable here, as we are going to see down there, it is used more specifically to represent the city of Jerusalem. And he says, after planting, preparing his vineyard, he set a hedge around it. He put a fence around it. He enclosed it, either with a fence of wood or stone or thorns. A common way of enclosing fields in Judea then. And after enclosing it, he dug a wine press in it. And the original word here that you find here in the original Greek language does not mean press as Matthew put it here. Instead, it is wine pit. Wine pit. This is where the liquid or the juice ran when squeezed out of the fruits by pressing. When you are pressing the fruits, the juice runs into that pit. And Mark put it very well. Mark did not say wine press. He said one pit. One pit, if you read the same parable from Mark. And he also built a tower inside that vineyard. So you see the care that the landowner was having on his land. He built there a tower. And these days in eastern countries, these towers go up to 80 feet high. 80 feet is really a bit elevated, and 30 feet to square or round, like this, and up to 80 feet high. What are they, these towers? They were built for keepers. After planting anything in your land, then you need to put there people to keep. Who defended the vineyards from thieves, from animals, and especially foxes. And after preparing his vineyard very well, putting a fence on it, building a tower there, then he leased it. This was a common practice. Vineyards were often planted to be leased for profit. Then he went far away. 34. Now when vintage time drew near, he sent his servant to the wine dressers that they might receive its fruits. So my servants, go now to those vine dressers and bring my part. Bring my part of fruits. They had agreed. These vine dressers are the Jewish religious leaders whose work is to make sure the Lord's vineyard is looked after well in order to get a good harvest. The religious leaders, the Pharisees, the scribes that represent the religious leaders of today, the pastors and whatever, whichever name you want to call yourself or you want to call them, the bishops, the what. The Lord has placed us there. Our work is to make sure the Lord's vineyard, which is the church, is saints, are looked after well. And not start squeezing them, not to squeeze any single water from a cloth with teachings that are nowhere found in scripture. When people gather inside church today, instead of being presented to the word of God, they spend 2 hours talking about money every Sunday. Construction. It's not bad. And I don't mean that we cannot talk about it here. We can, but point people to Christ more. It's money, money, money. Love offering. Sowing seeds so that God can bless you. Our work is to look after the sheep of Christ so that they can grow for the harvest that is about to come. And his servants that he sent, these represent the prophets sent to the Jewish people, the many prophets.
35.
And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. 36. Again he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did likewise to them.
The way they killed and treated the prophets. They did not want to hear from them. They were coming from the landlord. But they did not want to hear that. Just exactly like if you want to stand on the truth of the gospel, on the truth of the Bible, the majority of your friend pastors will hate you. They'll call you all sorts of names. You have fallen from grace, you've backslidden, and blah, blah, blah. Simply because you are pointing people to Christ, to the truth, and you are telling them that what they are doing is not right. And if you want to stand for the truth, be ready for persecution. Just be ready for that. When you prepare your mind and that thing comes, it does not really, it will not be new to you. Stand for the truth of Christ. Be ready anytime, sooner or later. You will not be well treated. They mistreated the servants of God. The prophets killed them. And in 37, we find that then last of all, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Remember, with the servants that the landlord sent, the Bible says they stoned one, beat the other, and killed. And so some were killed, others were just stoned and what. But when it came to the son, they did not even think of beating him. They did not think of anything. It's just, let us kill him. Let him disappear, because this now is the heir. These things are his. So let's kill him and we remain with the things. And they took him out of the vineyard and killed him. Out of the vineyard, that, as I told you, that in this particular, in this parable, the vineyard represents Jerusalem. Jesus Christ was killed outside Jerusalem. They took him outside the city and killed him there. Let us take him outside the vineyard and kill him there. 40. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? 41. They said to him, he will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their seasons. Another trap has caught them. Their answer, their talking about themselves. I'm just interested in how they call themselves. In 41. And they said to him, he will destroy those wicked men miserably. Wicked men, not knowing that they're talking about themselves. Whoever is trying to make himself rich through the sheep of Christ is a wicked man. When we say that, so, but you like abusing people. We don't abuse people, we interpret scripture. And they say, he's going to destroy them miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruit in their season. 42. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Our Lord again quotes from scripture. He always did this, pointing people to scripture. And here, Jesus was quoting from Psalm 118. verses 22 and 23.
These words in Samuel referred to David, but here they are about him, the Lord Jesus Christ. He pointed them to scripture. You want to serve God, always point people to scripture. Don't point people to your experiences. No one is interested in your experiences. Point people to scripture. What does it say? What do you do? Do you have scripture that really supports that? If you don't have scripture that supports whatever you do, stop it immediately. Even if it works for you, it makes sense to you. Stop it, because you know most of the things that we do here, to be sincere, humanly speaking, they don't work for us. We would not like to worship like this, but they work for him, and the choice is yours. Should I go with the things that work for me, entertain me most, but they are nowhere found in scripture, or I go with things that bore me, but that's what he wants then. And my friend, they will bore you at the beginning. But just continue going deep into them. They are not boring at all. I think I always tell you, it's part of my testimony how I asked myself when we were transforming things in this church, and I was like, how are we going to be singing hymns? Boring, what? But friends, when you go sing them one Sunday after the other, one month after the other, you check, you weigh the weight, the meaning of these hymns we sing. Try to compare them with the meaningless choruses that we used to sing then. You say, no, this is treasure that can be found in scripture. While many of the chorus, the short choruses we used to sing are nowhere found in scripture. And then you say, yes, the choruses used to work for me, they used to entertain me better, but this is what glorifies my master. Let me go with this. Always point people to scripture. And this scripture here brings more light on that part concerning the son in this parable. That part concerning the son. You remember, he sent the servants. They were beaten, they were stoned, they were killed. Then that part where the landlord sent his own only son. His own son. Where you find that the son was rejected and killed by the builders. Sorry. Well, I mean, the rejecting of the stone by the builders is the same with the vine dressers abusing the son who was sent to them. They're the same. The builders reject that stone there, and these vine dressers reject the son. The chief priests and the elders were the builders. Just like we, the leaders here, we are the builders. Christ put us here to build these people. So we teach them, to teach them the truth so they can grow. That is to build. We are the builders. The builders who had the oversight of God's house, God's building, the Jewish church. But they would not accept the doctrine of Christ or give him a place in his father's house. They always denied Christ a place in his father's house. And now, when we come to verse 44, you might remind me, I say, no, Pastor, you've jumped. You've just read 43, 42. Then you go to 44. No, 40, no, I'm not. I know what I'm doing. This verse 44 is supposed to come immediately after verse 42 and before verse 43. That's when it makes much sense. Because this verse 43 really is in between 42 and 43 by mistake. Because if Okay, let's do this. Let's link it, verse 44, with verse 42. And let me read 42, then jump to 44. It will make much sense. Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." 44. "And whoever falls on this stone," the stone that was spoken about in verse 42, "will be broken. But on whoever it falls, it will grind. It will grind him to powder." It is this stone that was talked about in Psalm 118 that Jesus Christ was referring to in verse 42. That is, Jesus is talking about in verse 44. When you read 43, there's nothing like stone. 43 says, "Therefore," and you know when a word begins with the word "therefore," what it means, he has been bringing some lesson, some teaching here. Therefore, he wants now to apply something. "Therefore, I said to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it." That should have come after 44. You link 42 with 44 because they are talking about this stone. And in verse 42, we find that the stone which the builders rejected, this was a huge stone that the builders rejected. They did not want to use it. They threw it somewhere there on the ground. And it became the chief cornerstone, the most important stone of the building, or the foundation. And this was the Lord's doing. By them rejecting that stone, what's the Lord doing? By the Pharisees and elders denying him, is the Lord doing? Nothing hits God by surprise. If we have pastors today who are preaching miracles and wealth and health, they are very rich, it's the Lord doing. Everything. Nothing happens by accident in the Lord's vineyard. This was the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. It is marvelous. We are seeing them, even us today, to see how this chief cornerstone is being thrown aside. It is marvelous in our eyes, even today. Let me see now. In verse 44, friends, we have two groups here. Remember, the stone has been rejected, has been by the builders. They don't want to use it. They want to use other stones, and they throw it there. And now, see what happens with this stone that was thrown there. Two groups. Verse 44. The first group is of those who fall on this stone, and it breaks them. The first group, they go and fall and they knock themselves on the stone and it breaks them. And the second group, the stone falls on them. Let's begin with the first group. Whoever falls on this stone will be broken. The builders despised and threw away that huge stone. Put it aside. After putting it aside, as they were walking, they stumbled on that very stone. That very stone that they threw there. They had forgotten that they had thrown it there. They stumbled on it and broke their own bones. In their ignorance, many people stumble at Jesus Christ. In his state of humiliation, he came here as a mere carpenter, an uneducated person, weak and poor person. So because of his humiliation, people despised him. That's what we hear even these days, a certain religion today tell you, no, Jesus is not God, he's a prophet. And ours is the last prophet. So Jesus first came, he's the second last prophet, then ours is the last prophet. He's merely a prophet. Other people will tell you is only the Son of God. So because of his humiliation, his lowly status, a mere carpenter, so they threw the stone there, left it there. But when the stone lies on the earth, the stone is lying somewhere there, where the builders had thrown it, the same builders, through their blindness and careless walk, follow me, friends, after throwing that stone somewhere there, remember, they are blind. They can't see. After throwing the stone there, you can't know whether you threw it here or there. They are blind, as Christ himself called them. And through their careless walk, you just walk anyhow. They went and knocked on that very stone and they broke their bones. Remember here, it is themselves. After rejecting it, they stumbled on it and they broke their own bones themselves. They hit themselves on it and fall and fell. They fell over it. They fell over the same bone and it broke their bones. Whoever takes offense at Christ, even these days, so as they will not believe in him, nor worship him in spirit and truth, that will be their ruin, their own ruin. They will be ruined, because when you reject Christ, you will not ruin Christ. When you knock yourself on a stone, you will not ruin the stone, you ruin your own finger. They will ruin, they'll be ruined in this life in many ways. Many ways. We see in Uganda thieves being burnt alive. We see. If only they land on a thief and the police is not near there, they just put a tire on him and they set him ablaze alive. What pain, friend. When I watch that on TV, I'm like, wow. You know, because of my small heart, I don't want even to look at that. Someone who's alive just burning. That's, you know, why are you burning, Mr. Thief? Because you threw the stone aside and you're now knocking on it and you bruise your own life. Prostitutes die with terrible diseases. Those who go clubbing at night, every night. Those who live in lust of money and worldly fame and wealth fall prey to many problems. And in all this, they are ruining their own lives. Just you, where you are seated there, my brother, my sister, by not accepting, by not going, being with this stone, is a problem already. Even before it comes. Before it comes for us, it's a problem. You will ruin your own life here in this life. They are negatively falling on a huge stone. They're negatively falling on it. That rock of ages. And that some of us fell on it. Some of us also, we hit ourselves on it. Positively, in a positive way. And the same stone broke our lust, broke our pride, broke our adulterous life, our self-righteousness, etc. We fell on it positively, and it really broke, seriously. When you fall on it negatively, you break yourself. That's the first group. Let's see the second group, down there in verse 44. But on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. Listen to that, friends. But on whomever it falls, it will grind. No more question of breaking just your femur. No breaking just your arm. When you fall on it, but when it falls on you, it will grind you to powder. The Jewish, let me tell you the Jewish one, because some commentators say that this just spoke this vis-a-vis the Jewish mode of stoning their culprits and what. So, just to give you a picture here, the malefactors were first thrown down violently. So they put you somewhere on top, and then they throw you violently down from a high scaffold upon a great stone. So they put you on a great stone, then they first throw you violently. If you die, they leave you. If you don't die, then they get another huge stone and throw it on you, which would crush them to pieces, and you can't survive. That's what some commentators say. But me, I go back to my Redeemer. I go back to my Lord. This is about my Lord. On the other hand, the same stone that was despised on the ground, it was despised because it was lying somewhere on the ground. That very stone was elevated above everything, and now it sits on the right hand side of the Father. Now, as I speak, it's no longer on the ground. It is far above everything else. The same stone. It is there where it sits on the right hand side of the Father, and where it will one day be coming back in power. And on whomever it will be falling, whether Jew or Gentile, it will grind him into powder. And that's what we find in Daniel, where we read the first reading. Daniel chapter 2, verse 30, we go to 34 and 35. Daniel chapter 2. I read only 34 and 35. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay, and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found, and the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is that great stone. It is now high because a stone that is lying on the ground cannot fall on you. When it was lying on the ground, people despised it. They fell on it and they bruised themselves. But now it is elevated above everything, ready to come down one day and fall on people to crush them into powder. Because it will come from above. Daniel was explaining this vision to Nebuchadnezzar and said that you watched while a stone was cut out without hands. No human hand made it. It was just cut from a mountain and fell and crushed everything. Friends, let's go back to Matthew. Verse 45. Let me go first, go to 43. Therefore, I say to you, after explaining to them about what will happen on those who fall on the stone and to whom the stone will be falling, he said, therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruit of it. The Gentiles, though it was first prepared for you, it will be put to other people who will be bearing fruit. The Gentiles. And remember, don't forget, all this came from the questioning of your authority. Who gave you all this authority? And all these parables, Jesus is going to show them the Son of the Father, the heir. In other words, I'm the heir. The landlord, the owner of this world and universe, is the one who gave me all his authority. And 45, he says, now when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking of them. You are too late, Mr. Pharisees. All along you have not known that he has been talking about you. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitudes because they took him for a prophet. Many people were surrounding him. Remember, he had just entered Jerusalem in power with many people singing, Hosanna. This is our king. This is our redeemer. Redeem us now. Hosanna. And those people were around him. They believed him to be the prophet from Galilee. Remember when people were asking, when he was entering in power into Jerusalem, people were asking, who and who's this? And the answer came, this is the mighty prophet from Galilee. How dare you touch such a prophet that people believe in? Prophets always have followings. Go to the first prophets, not only in Uganda, all over the world. They have many followings. And try to speak ill against them. You'll be stoned even in Uganda here. Talk ill against these false prophets we have here. Because they have a lot of people. The Pharisees fear and say, no, we cannot talk ill against this one, lest we be stoned by the crowd. And friends, you know, that's why I gave the title to my message this morning. It's a bit strange title. The Rock of Both Stumble and Refuge. That's the title of this message. The Rock of Both Stumble and Refuge. Both, decide. You take the rock lightly, you stumble on it and break your own bones. You take it seriously, it will be a place of refuge for you. And that's why, if you do me a favor, that the last hymn today should be 163 from Grace Supplements. And we sing about this rock. Where some of us fell. Yes, we fell on it. We stumbled on it positively and it broke our pride. Some of us are proud people, friends. Some of you are adulterous people, friends. Some of us were tied to our cultures and our religious rites and did not want anyone to separate us from our religious rites. I like just like them the way they are. Even if they are not in scripture, just like them the way they are. But when we fell on this rock of ages, it broke those for us. And this one here that I want us to end with, if you give me do me a favor. 163. This hymn, I like it. He says, oh, safe to the rock that is higher than I. I am safe to the rock that is higher than I. That rock is no more on the ground, friends. It is now higher than everything. Higher than I. My soul in its conflicts and sorrows would fly. Would fly to that rock that is higher than I. So sinful, so weary, yours would I be. You, blessed rock of ages, I am hiding in you. Because he is soon coming with power from where he is on high to fall on everything and put them into powder. But we were hidden in him. We are safe. Not we'll be safe. We are already safe. And he says, verse 2, in the calm of the noontide, in sorrow's lone hour, in times when temptation casts over me its power, in the tempest of life, on its wide, heaving sea, Thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in you. And the last verse he says, how often in the conflict, when pressed by foes, I have enemies everywhere on every corner. I have fled to my refuge and breathed out my whole. How often when trials like sea billows roll, have I hidden in thee, in you, O thou rock of my soul. And the chorus he says, hiding in you, hiding in you, you blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in you. Don't hide in your wealth. Don't hide in your education. Don't hide in your beauty. You look into a mirror and say, yes, I'm beautiful. That's why men follow me. That's why women are following me. Don't. All those are rubbish. Don't hide in anything. Don't hide in anything. I heard a certain American say, I'm proud of being an American. Don't be proud of being an American or a Ugandan or whatever. Say, I'm proud of being a Christian. I'm proud of being a follower of this rock of ages that is soon coming in power to crush everything into powder. And their wealth, their big churches, their big following, their fame, they are going all over the world, will not help anyone. You being a Jew or a Gentile, it will not help you. It's on how you walk in him. They are now fighting to all starting up radio stations. I use also a radio station, TV stations, and they use them to now start fighting. Pastor to pastor, church to church. Can we sing like this brother here who said, thou blessed rock of ages, I am hiding in you. I'll not be crushed. Jesus in his own words says, and whomever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. What a terrible day that will be for people to stand somewhere and see the pastor they loved, the pastor they respected as the powerful man of God, being grounded into powder by the rock of ages. By the rock of ages. May the Lord help us, friends, that he should point us daily into his word, to know how we can take refuge in him instead of stumbling on him and we break our own legs. But pastor, sometimes I don't understand your things. Can you explain me? I don't understand. I want to go back to the other side because things here, I don't understand them. Friends, our things are not complicated. We just point you to scripture. It's not complicated. Don't have offense of Jesus Christ. You are going to break your bonds. You break them. May the Lord help us. The rock of ages, the huge stone that was despised and is still despised up to these days, is already elevated on high, above everything, ready to come one day, fall on everything, and crush them, grind them into powder. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, thou rock of ages, we want to come and have refuge in thee. We want to hide ourselves in thee. Help us put blindness on our eyes, not to see the things of this world, the lust of this world that many people are running after daily, even pastors and churches and Christians. Help us, Lord, that you open our eyes on that huge stone, cornerstone that was despised, that, Lord, will have our refuge in you. You are soon coming in power to grind everything into powder. But, Lord, hide us in you. Help those of us who have not seen you clearly. Even us, Lord, we still want to see you better. We haven't seen you clearly. Open our eyes, our minds, to see you in scriptures the way you are, O Lord. And we thank you for this word. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.